The book of Revelation chapter 3, please. Revelation chapter number 3. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. And just want to give you a thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. In Revelation 3, I just want to read verse 7 and 8. And that'll probably be sufficient. Maybe we should read on down. I may as we go. But I want to use this church of Philadelphia to see how to be a successful church. Now, these seven churches of Asia Minor represent church ages as well. They were actual churches, as we know, and they also represent church ages. And of course, the church age of Philadelphia started about 1800. And actually, there's some remnants of the church of Philadelphia still around. But we know in this day, the majority, the most part, is Laodicea. Laodicea means rights of the people. And they had everything. They had money. They had great buildings. They had everything. But the Lord said, you're neither hot nor cold. You make me sick. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's something, church. And I'm not preaching on Laodicea, but that's something we need to pray out of our heart and out of our church. Amen. That's right. Our walk with God's more important than anything material. Amen. I mean, we can have all the fine things, and I thank God for all He's given us here. But that's not the main thing. Amen. We need to keep the main thing, and that's the Lord. But notice in verse 7, getting on this church, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Now, the days of the church of Philadelphia, great revival came, great evangelism came, people getting saved everywhere. It was a wonderful time far as the church goes. He said in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now that hour of temptation, I believe, is talking about the tribulation. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's going to keep us from that hour. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get off on that. That'll be 10 minutes gone. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, again, in verse number 11, the Lord said, I'm coming quickly. And he said, hold that fast which thou hast. They had something great. They had the power of God. And it was because of their devotion. I'll get to that in a moment. And he said, don't let any man come in and mess it up. Amen. He said, they'll mess around and take your crown. Yeah, that's right. Your reward for being that faithful church, that godly church, that church that had a burden for souls. And revival came through there. He said, be careful. Don't let somebody take that. May the Lord add His blessings. In this text, again, these seven churches were in Asia Minor. We know that Philadelphia means brotherly love, and I'll get to that also in a minute, good Lord willing. And so I want us, and I want myself, the church is us, of course, to be more like Philadelphia. Not be like Laodicea. Rich and increased with goods and having need of nothing. And the Lord said, you're blind, you're miserable, and you're poor. That was all their standing spiritually. You imagine God looking down at the church of Laodicea and saying, man, y'all a mess. Yeah. And they thought that gain was godliness, but it's not. And they were blessed with money. They were blessed with fine things. But that didn't depict the power of God. How you know, preacher, the Lord said so. I want us to be more like Philadelphia. Never lose our burden for sinners. Spare no cost to win the lost. Doing what we can to be a blessing to those that are not saved. And be a blessing and encouragement to those that are. Somebody can come here and hear the gospel, not watered down gospel. There is a watered down gospel in this day where, you know, they kale out of it, no judgment in it. That's watered down. They dilute it so everybody will like it. Hey, the gospel brings offense. Amen. First time you heard it, you probably got offended. And the first one you got mad at was the one delivering the message. But the more you got under the gospel, the more the Holy Ghost shared that with you, that you needed that. Amen. Amen. They preached Jesus, born of a virgin, walked a perfect 3.5 years, went to the cross, shed every ounce of blood out of him, paid a sin debt, and went to the grave, and in 3 days and 3 nights he resurrected bodily. And he's now sitting down at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And those that reject the gospel, reject Christ, and if they reject Christ and they go out into eternity, in hell they'll lift their eyes. God made a way of escaping that. A lot of people say, I don't understand the wrath of God. Well, you talk about wrath, that's almost a term of getting even with somebody. Amen. That's what the Bible said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get over that thought of getting even with somebody. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Amen. Amen. What do we ought to do to our enemies? The Bible said love them, feed them. Right. Amen. Amen. You're not going to heap coals of fire on their head, giving them dirty looks and talking about them behind their back, trying to run them down and hurt their testimony so your friends won't like them. Hey, that ain't godly. Amen. The Bible said, love those that hate you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Amen. Amen. And I'd be careful telling lies on folks. Amen. Amen. That goes for every age in here. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. That stuff will bite you. Amen. The Bible still said, if I had aught against you, I'm to go to you. Amen. I'm to go to you and tell you your fault. And it'll be between me and you alone. We'll get it right and move on. Amen. Amen. Not for that moment, but forever. Amen. That issue won't be a problem anymore. Right. See, churches fail to be Philadelphia and become Laodicea because it's right to the people. Hey, you better do it like I say. Yeah. You better do it like I want it. I'll cause trouble. I'll give you dirty looks. I'll turn my head, I won't speak to you. That's an immature Christian, if it is a Christian at all. That's the mindset of Laodicea. That's the thinking of Laodicea. Amen. That's right. And because I promise you one thing, if I have aught against you, I'll come see you. I'm going to tell you about it. Not with an angry countenance or spirit, God forbid. That's dealing with something in the flesh. But humbly. I don't know why I said all that. But anyway, Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, and we will have to agree, according to God's standards, it was successful. They were weak people. That's what he said, did he not? He told them they were weak. Where's that at, y'all? Say it again. Verse 8, that's where I was looking. Thank you, brother. He said they were weak, but they were godly. They didn't have everything Laodicea had, but they had the power of God. Amen. And not one rebuke went to this church. Not one. Jesus wrote them a letter and didn't have to say, I have something against you. That's wonderful. So according to God's standards, they were a successful church. They were successful. Now, what made them successful? Did they go to some seminars? Nope. Did they have men's meetings and women's meetings and a bunch of camp meetings, a bunch of revivals? Nothing wrong with any of that. But that didn't either. That didn't make them successful. You can have a meeting every quarter, but hey, if you're not in it for the right reason and you're not getting help, hey, that don't make a church spiritual. I remember the old timers would just pray till God turned loose revival. We set dates on calendars because everybody's on a time schedule. But we see in this church that God shows us what a successful church should look like. Now notice first of all, A successful church will be activated in the work of God. Amen. The Lord said, I know thy what? Works. He seen what they were doing. Philadelphia was a working church. God will never bless idleness or laziness. Let me ask you something. What are you doing? I mean, folks, I understand you can be a witness on your own anywhere, and you should be. But God wants ministry to come forth out of your local church. That's right. He wants things. And if you're not, if all you do is show up and see it, then you're not involved in the work that God's raised up in Bible Baptist Church. Well, I don't like what y'all doing. What are we doing that's not biblical? You can't show me nothing. Just because it don't sit well with you, I'm going to be idle and I'm going to be lazy. That you're sending us over to Laodicea. You're not doing it my way. I disagree with that. You know, always wanting to bark about something. But Philadelphia here, they were active in the work of God. And folks, I thank God for a church. By the grace of God, we try to be active in the work of God. Amen. We try to get involved with the community. We have visitation. And when things happen like the hurricane, try to get involved with the community. We fed them, give them gospel tracts. And I appreciate all that come to be a part of that, to be a part of the ministry that God had birthed in Bible Baptist Church. Amen. So a successful church is not an inactive church. Successful church is a church that's active in the work of God. Where are you at? I know I can tell you, you can tell me where you're at in the family of God that you're saved. We're not questioning salvation tonight. I'm thankful we have a testimony and we know that we have a word and we know we're saved. But where are we standing? Where are we at? Where are we located in the work of God? Where are we at in that? Philadelphia was, the Lord said, I know thy works. Now, folks, he knows ours too. He knows our works as well. And folks, we're not working to be saved. We're working because we are saved. Amen. That's right. I'm going to heaven by grace through faith in the blood of Christ. Period. Amen. My good works isn't getting me there. I told you this story a long, long time ago. Probably, I don't know, my mind, thank God I don't remember much. But the first Bible college dean we had, Brother Jerry Clark, the first 2 years, when he got saved, he drove a bread truck. Delivered bread. And he would go to, and I won't even call the denomination tonight, don't matter. He would go to the one, but their doctrine's off, and you'll figure this out in a minute. But he said, just truckloads of bread during the week there. And he just got saved, and he asked him, said, what are y'all doing with all this bread? And they had a kitchen. They fed people, which is nothing wrong with that. But the person he asked said, we're working our way to heaven. That was the response that Brother Clark got. We are working our way to heaven. Now, if I'm working for anything, it's for rewards. Amen. My salvation's done been paid for. Amen. See, one of the judgments was the judgment of the cross. When Christ died on the cross, that was judgment of sin. Our sins was judged in his body. That debt's paid. I don't have to work for that. Christ worked for that. Amen. He's the only one worthy to work for that. Amen. No man's blood would satisfy, but Christ. So we understand we're not working. I don't work to be saved, nor do I work to stay that way. I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God until the day of redemption. Amen. The Lord said, I ain't lost one of them, and he'll never lose one of us. How in the world can you be in the hand of God and in the hand of Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost and lose your salvation? That's right. Well, preacher, we can pluck ourselves out. Come on, man. You going to pluck yourself out? It ain't going to happen.
That's right.
Now, I do think some people, if they hadn't lost their salvation, some ain't never had it. Because there's no evidence of sonship, but I'm not getting into that either. A successful church is active. They're activated in the work of God. Notice secondly with me, please. Not only are they activated in the work of God, but they are saturated by the Word of God. Look at verse number 8. They're not only activated in the work of God, they're saturated by the Word of God. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast listened, what did they do? And hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now look at verse number 10, the first part. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. So they're saturated in and by the word of God. But I like that. That word kept there means to guard, by keeping the eyes upon, to prevent from escaping. You know what he's saying? Y'all have kept my word. You've made sure you've not defied it. You've made sure that everything you've done in this church is by the book. Amen. By the word of God. He said, you have kept, hey, with all the temptations, with everything coming at them, how the devil was fighting them, and they kept the word of God. They kept themselves saturated in the word. They held fast to it. They held fast to the Word of God. And folks, you and I, this is the only book that matters. Amen. That's right. This is the only book that matters. Amen. And folks, we ought to rightly divide it. Yeah. Right. And God has instruction for the church. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth, and we find out what that is in the Word of God. And we must stay Hey, folks, again, I'm trying not to be critical, but I know that when God called me to preach and I begin to really study the Word of God, I realize not every church is doing things biblically, but not all of them is doing it intentionally. So be careful, I'll tell you preacher something. Be careful when you get invited to go preach somewhere and they got some stuff out of order. That's not your business. Don't go in there and change your message and hit what's wrong there. Because I don't care if it is wrong and you change your message and nail it and that pastor calls me, he's right. But some things you can do and you'll figure out what not to do. God's teaching you that way. You go in there, you already prayed about the message. God's already given you the message. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Right. Just preach your message. Right. What I do after that? Sit down. Go home. Amen. Go to bed. And pray for them. But if we would really seek God's word, it's not hard to figure out what God wants for the church. And they were rooted and grounded in the truth. They kept the word. They never let the word slip. And folks, that's the main thing. See, now Paul talked about good traditions. See, not every tradition is a bad tradition. A good tradition is a biblical one. It's the man-made ones that's not good. And some folks over the years have been part of churches that were man-made traditions. I'm not saying they were awful, but they were still wasn't scriptural. And they've been told this stuff so long, they've never searched the scriptures, and they'll argue you down that's in the Bible. Where's it at? I don't know. But Grandma said it was. I don't know, but that's what I preach. He won me to Jesus. Yeah, you better not say he's wrong. All right, I won't. So we get to that place, and we're not saturated in the Word of God. But Philadelphia, they were. They were activated in the work of God. They were saturated by the Word of God. Then notice thirdly, they were dedicated to the Son of God. Verse 8 again, has not denied my name. Has not denied my name. They were dedicated to the Lord. The whole purpose of them being an active church and a saturated church was their dedication to Christ. That'll keep us all right. Amen. Not doing what we're doing to be men pleasers or to have our egos boosted. This church is unique. It's very unique. It just amazed me last week in revival. This is one of the most giving churches that I've ever known, and I want to commend you for that. You know how to honor God's men that come from afar and labor for you. Amen. From the Word of God. Amen. And man, I appreciate that. Man, I do. I appreciate that. Thank God for you for doing that. And we don't take light. But folks, if I thank God for this church. We got a lot of singers in this church. And folks, we do our very best to call on folks as God lays on our heart, try to be balanced. And if you ever feel like getting slighted, you say, "Preach, it's time for me to sing. I ain't sung long. Hey, you're going to hurt my feelings. You're going to sing. Don't pout on me now. I don't like that. This is a church, not daycare." I didn't pay my kids much attention when they pouted. I sure ain't going to pay you much. We're doing the best we can do, amen. But we don't have, I don't think we have that problem here. Got a lot of preachers here. They back each other. They support one another. Amen. That's right. Families here, we come and wait. What call? Hey, our dedication to Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm heard, seen, or I'm in the front every service. And I hope, and I'm going to say this because I think the Spirit of God's telling me to, but I don't think anybody's guilty of this. Don't think that you're just that much better at singing or just that much better at preaching. You get that in your head long, God will give you laryngitis. Amen. He might give you lockjaw. Be careful. Be careful. Bible said, if any man minister, that serve the Lord. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God gives him. So if someone's doing what they do with the ability God gives them, they ain't wrong. And the Lord is smiling on it. That's right. I think the Bible said, whether you eat or drink, do all the glory of God. I think if you sing, you preach, whatever you do here, teach, pray, do it, give it all you've got. One of my little things here I'm going to share with you, I had no intentions to. I ain't singing nobody. I didn't notice anybody if he's doing it tonight. Hey, singers, when you sing over here, when you sing over there, take that chewing gum out your mouth. Live strength. That's right. Amen. Tonight, all in favor. No gum on the platform. And put them songbooks down flat. Don't walk off of them hanging up there. It looks bad on TV. Man, I got OCD. I notice that stuff. My wife said, "I wish you had it at home, but I got it here." She's got it at home enough for both of us, so I don't have to have it there. That's right. Do it. Hey, respect, honor what God has given you gifts to do, and take it serious. Yes, amen. Do it because you love the Lord. Amen. Do it for the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Do it for God. Amen. Do it the best you can. Amen. Act right. Folks, everybody that preaches misses it sometimes, but when you miss it, just say, "I'd miss that," and go on. Hey, sometimes when we sing, we miss a note. You ain't got to put on the show. Just keep singing. Amen. Just keep singing. I don't care if you're out of tune. We listen to the message anyway. Amen. Bible said make a joyful noise. Amen. Amen. So anyway, that's not my message. Y'all blame that on the Lord. But be dedicated to the Son of God. Has not denied my name. No matter what come their way, they were active in the work of God, saturated by the Word of God, and they were dedicated to the Son of God. Let me give you one more. I'll give you one more. Here's something else. They were filled with the love of God. Philadelphia. What does it mean? Brotherly love. This church, which began, this church age, which began around the 1800s, it's still not completely gone. I know it's probably Laodicea, but you cannot have brotherly love and not have the love of God. If you're not filled with the love of God, you're not going to love your brother. Of course, I won't get in the book of 1 John or 2 John, 3 John, which one it's in. But hey, don't say you love God whom you hadn't seen and hate your brother who you have seen. Christians, be careful bringing hate out of your mouth. I hate you. I hate. Be careful. You tell it on yourself. Amen. We have to fight against allowing the devil come in here. And if he takes our love for God away, he'll take our love for one another away. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It's an impossibility. You cannot say I love God and despise your brethren. Mm-mm. If you walk around and hate someone and you have no desire to get things right with someone, you don't want to be around someone, the love of God don't dwell in your heart. Amen. And you sure can't tell lies on your brother and sister in Christ and the love of God be in you. Amen. That's right. Be honest. Amen. Amen. Strive. If you love God right, we'll love each other right. See, that was Philadelphia's success story. They just loved God, and it poured out on one another, and it poured out on sinners. They wanted to evangelize. God opened them a great door that no man could shut. That door was the door of the gospel. Revival broke out. People getting saved. People getting right with God. It's because this church, they weren't looking at the material. They was looking at the things of God. Lord, help us. Folks, I'm around y'all more than I'm around my natural family. I mean, not my family that lives with me, but I'm just saying, most of us are around our church family more than anybody. Let's love each other. Amen. If we got to be here together all the time, we might as well love each other. Amen. Amen. Might as well get along. That's right. Church, do we want our church to be successful by the standards of God? Not by the standards of man. I surely won't tell any names or anything like that. Y'all won't know anyway, I don't think. There was a preacher I know that he was invited to go to this church that was biblically out of order, bad, and it was his conviction not to go preach. And he was honest with that pastor, humbly. And the pastor got upset and he goes, "Hey, we ran over 500 people, had a $25,000 offer, and you telling me God ain't in it?" He said, if that's how we measure successful churches, then old Smiley down here in Texas is right with God. These mega churches, then, hey, millions and millions of dollars coming in. I mean, them preachers is flying jet airplanes that they own. So if that determines being right with God, then we missing it. Y'all need to go shop for me an airplane. I promise you, did sit up there, he wouldn't move much. And y'all know I'm joking. But that don't determine success. Amen. Don't. And the Bible says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise anyway. Right. You get in a mess comparing yourselves among yourself. Just love the Lord, love each other, be what God wants you to be, and enjoy your Christian. Hey, folks, you know God wants us to enjoy our salvation. Amen. He wants us to be happy in what He's done for us. We don't walk around like that. We walk around like we lost our best friend. Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, y'all stand up here with me while I preach sometime. Let's not hit a clover somewhere. Well, you want, I just keep my eyes moving. I'm scared to get locked in on somebody. We want to be successful, don't we? God help us. Let's all stand. Court's coming. The altar's open.